And I'm Robert Houghton. It's actually Friday, March 11th, 2005, and I will be running a classic Bill broadcast from, I think, March 27th, 97. Catalog number I have down here is 1085, if you're looking to order a copy of this tape. Just thought I'd put a few opening comments on here. You're going to have to ignore all of the addresses and phone numbers and everything that Bill may give out during this hour. I'll give out our information. Our current email address for Doyle Shamley is hourofthetime@hotmail.com. And you can email me, Robert Houghton, at webmaster@hourofthetime.com. Now, our normal mailing address for any product orders or catalog inquiries, things like that, is HOT. That's H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona 85925. And as always, our website is hourofthetime.com. Now, I've got some interest in the new product we're getting involved with, Zango. It's a mangosteen dietary supplement. If you'd like information on that, you can call our information hotline. It's a toll-free number, and it is 1-877-926-4646. Once again, that's 1-877-926-4646. Now, if you'd like to leave a message for Doyle or myself, recommend for the next couple of weeks calling the Canadian number 613-733-4324. Now, if you don't need an immediate response, you can call the normal number down in Eager, which is 928-333-2942. Now, how's that for a whole whack of information right off the bat there? So I hope you had your pens handy to write all that down, and we will continue now with a classic Bill episode. I believe this one's entitled The New World Order Documented. Take it away, Bill.
For the Constitution Party members in Los Angeles, they'll hold their first Los Angeles area meeting, and anybody in the whole state is welcome to attend, if you wish. And it's going to be Wednesday, May 17th. Wednesday, May 17th. Doors open at 6 p.m. at the Los Angeles Airport Marina Hotel. That's the Airport Marina Hotel, May 17th, 6 p.m., West Los Angeles, just north of LAX. Call area code 310-670-8111. That's 310-670-8111. Four directions, free admission and parking, donations welcome. If you'd like to join us in the beginning of a movement for an accountable, limited federal government under the supreme law of land, the Constitution of the United States of America, come and find out about the Constitution Party, advocating individual rights and state sovereignty. And folks, I hope to see you there, because I will be there. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you what's happening on Monday night. Tonight I've got a lot to cover. Now, first I'm going to tell you about a book that you've got to get. It's called Secret. And it outlines the Federal Bureau of Investigation documents that directly link Bill and Hillary Clinton to the Marxist terrorist network. The publishers of this book offer a reward of $1,000 to the first person to provide them with valid evidence of any quotation cited in this book being materially false. And the documentation here is incredible. It just absolutely confirms everything that I've been telling you, and I didn't even know that this existed. You can order it. In fact, you can get three copies for $20. Three copies for $20. So send $20 to these people. Get your three copies. I don't make a penny. These people don't even know I'm doing this. You've got to read this. This is right out of the files of the FBI. Write to Sunset Research Group. That's Sunset Research Group, 608 Northwest Street, number 236. That's 608 Northwest Street, number 236, Wichita, Kansas, 67203. Once again, Sunset Research Group, 608 Northwest Street, number 236, Wichita, Kansas, 67203. You can get three copies for $20. It's dynamite. Make sure that you do it. Also, there's another one here, published by the same people. It documents how the FBI's criminal espionage investigation of the Council on Foreign Relations was foiled. And this also is dynamite. You can get three copies of this for $10. Send off $10, get your three copies, and give two to your friends. And send it to the same people. Sunset Research Center, 608 Northwest Street, number 236, Wichita, Kansas, 67203. The first one, which links Bill and Hillary Clinton to the Marxist terrorist network, is $20 for three copies. The second one, how the FBI's criminal espionage investigation of the Council on Foreign Relations was foiled, that's three copies for $10. Get these, folks. It is imperative. Now, I'm glad that this is Friday because I'm worn out. And I mean it. I'm really worn out. So I'm going to be writing over the weekend. Don't call me unless it's an emergency, please. We have to get the paper out. It's going to press on Monday. Monday. This issue of Veritas is going to turn Washington on its ear. On its ear. It'll be the only newspaper published in the country that tells the truth about a lot of things. And you don't even want to miss it. If you'd like to subscribe, send $15 for six issues, $30 for 12 issues, $40 for 18 issues, or $50 for 24 issues. Make checks or money orders out to Veritas, spelled V as in Victor, E-R-I-T-A-S. That's Veritas.
Now, I'd just like to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that Veritas is no longer being published, so you can ignore the address and the prices for Veritas magazine. Now, if you'd like to get a set of Veritas, you can go to our website, hourofthetime.com, and I believe we have complete sets available, maybe missing one or two issues, on the books page, I believe. So if you want to go check that out, go to the Hot Shop and check out the books page. But Veritas is no longer being published.
Newspaper you've ever read in your life. You miss number one, you can never get another copy of issue number one unless you steal it or buy it from somebody that's got one. We still have some copies left of issue number two. If you'd like a copy of that issue, you can send us $5 and ask for issue number two. We'll send it off to you. Or you can subscribe. Six issues for $15, 12 issues for $30, 18 issues for $40, or 24 issues for $50. Don't go away, folks. I'll be right back.
Glad you could make it.
Never in human history has so few taken so much from so many as America's Illuminati and their warlords of Wall Street and Washington. In just 8 years, these banksters and international government gangsters took us from the greatest creditor nation to the largest debtor nation on Earth. Our standard of living has dropped like a rock for 4 out of every 5 Americans. They have foreclosed on our homes, our farms, our factories. They've exported your jobs and surrendered our arms.
They want
a new world order. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
Remember, ladies and gentlemen, in this new world order, everything is backwards. Wrong is right, and right is wrong. Right is left, and left is right. It's all screwed up. They want you to believe that those on the right who want less government and more personal responsibility are fascists and Nazis, and it's a lie. You see, Nazis were socialist. Nazi means national socialism. And that's what's coming. Same old scam, no different. Exactly the same. Only instead of a country, it's going to be the world. The world. And shame on you if you go against what's considered to be politically correct. Yep. Shame on you. As many people are finding out across this country, you see, it used to be the worst thing in the world not to be a patriot, not to support the Constitution, not to love liberty. How did they turn it around? Now those who fought in World War II are warmongers. Patriots are scumbags. If you love the Constitution, there's something wrong with you. You're mentally ill. What's going on? How come those who want less government, less control, and more personal responsibility are labeled Nazis? Nazis were socialists. That's on the left, not the right. Yep, folks, you're being scammed big time. I'm telling you right now, the Soviet Union couldn't have done it better than these people are doing it today. They are the penultimate success in, actually, the ultimate success, as someone so nicely pointed out to me. The ultimate success in propagandizing a population. Yep, they've got you convinced. The wolves have convinced you, the sheeple, to stay away from the shepherd. Oh, boy. And last night, you got an education on the Federal Reserve and the real money system that you never knew about in your life, explained so clear and so concise with crystal logic. And you cannot order last night's tape from us, ladies and gentlemen. It's copyrighted. You have to order it from Stephen Jacobson. If you'd like to find out how, call tomorrow sometime during the day, and someone will tell you where to send off. We don't know how much it costs, but we'll give you the address, and you can write to them or find them in the information operator in North Carolina and send off for that tape. Everybody should have it. In fact, you should have 10 or 20 of them so you can hand them out to your friends. No one, after they hear that tape, has any doubt about what's happening. Now I'm going to continue from where last night left off. You see, there really is a plan to destroy the sovereignty of nation states and bring about a one-world government. And we can prove it. We've always been able to prove it. I've proved it many times on this broadcast, not because I say so, not because I wanted to say so, not because I read out of silly books that someone wrote that says so, but we prove it in the documentation, in the law, in the words of the people who are bringing it about. It's not a conspiracy. As I plainly outlined in issue number 1 of Veritas, it's all out in the open. You're just not watching. You're not listening. You're not reading. In fact, you don't even know what's going on in politics in your own hometown, much less the state, and forget about the federal government in Washington, D.C. You don't know beans about it. And that's how they're getting away with it, through the ignorance, apathy, and stupidity of the American people. And that's the truth. In a document, revision of the United Nations Charter, hearings before a subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Relations, United States Senate, 81st Congress, second session, on resolutions. February 1950, United States Government Printing Office, Washington, 1950. Oh, boy. Senator Smith of New Jersey, the suggestion was made by someone, I forget who it was, in the discussion of this resolution, that if the expression in this resolution were changed from World Federation to World Order, it might be more acceptable as an expression of an overall ultimate goal. What is your opinion, Mr. Hickerson? I personally think, sir, that it would. I would still have misgivings about the advisability of passing a resolution of this sort at this time. I repeat, I think that the issue raised by this should be debated. Of course, the thing that has precipitated this has been the terrible apprehension of people because of, first, the atomic bomb, and now the so-called H-bomb. And I'm skipping around, reading you selected portions, because I only have an hour to cover a stack of documents an inch and a half thick. And that's only a few of the ones we have. We have thousands and thousands, and books and books and books in our library. They've never kept it secret. In the same document, revision of the United Nations Charter, statement of James P. Warburg, Greenwich, Connecticut. These studies led me 10 years ago to the conclusion that the great question of our time is not whether or not one world can be achieved, but whether or not one world can be achieved by peaceful means. We shall have world government, whether we like it or not. The question is only whether world government will be achieved by consent or by conquest. In support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 56, Mr. Chairman, I am here to testify in favor of Senate Resolution 56, which, if concurrently enacted with the House, would make the peaceful transformation of the United Nations into a world federation the avowed aim of United States policy. Let me say that again. Would make the peaceful transformation of the United Nations into a world federation the avowed aim of United States policy. And down at the bottom of the page, it recognizes that there is no cure for this evil short of making the United Nations into a universal organization capable of enacting, interpreting, and enforcing world law to the degree necessary to outlaw force or the threat of force as an instrument of foreign policy. You see, they create the fear. They create the fear to get what they want. The Hegelian dialectic is in full swing, and it's operating today. In Foreign Affairs Outlines, Building the Peace, prepared by the Department of State in the summer of 1950, number 23. Just what is the United Nations, and what is it doing in the world today? There are many ways of answering. The way most valuable to you will depend upon where you sit and how closely you have been following international affairs. One thing to remember is that the United Nations is mainly a deliberative body. When there is conflict, the UN collects facts, studies them, and then recommends courses of action. Its recommendations carry real weight, for the member nations have obliged themselves to respect them. UN action can also be backed by armed force. See, you don't know it, ladies and gentlemen, but the Security Council, under a specific rule in the United Nations Charter, can order nations to supply armies to enforce their resolutions. That's right. And if you don't believe me, look it up. The 59 member states have pledged themselves to try to live up to the high standards of the UN Charter. The United Nations does represent, however, a long start toward world unity. In the daily work of seeking and finding agreement, the UN is growing steadily more useful and efficient. So that all men can eat better, live longer, get about more easily, and enjoy to the fullest their rights and freedoms, in whose hopes the dreams of the UN had taken root. The guiding spirit, peace, the way they bring it about is to create war and fear. The United Nations was set up above all to eliminate war. Its activities have been along three main lines. One, collective security actions, including the peaceful settlement of disputes by the Security Council and the General Assembly, and efforts to set up international disarmament and atomic energy control plans. Now Clinton wants to guarantee you peace and security.
the building of a more just, lawful, and orderly world society. Work which is directed toward a wider sharing of the good things of life among all peoples and an increase in the abundance of good things. In other words, the redistribution of wealth. The leveling of the standard of living of all peoples. It says down here, more specifically, it might refer to unity of nations in discouraging aggression and in resisting it by force, if necessary. The planning for worldwide regulation and limitation of conventional armaments and the setting up of troop contingents for the Security Council continue. This UN program will form a growing foundation for a world rule of law under which nations will bring their disputes to established courts of justice just as individuals do today. The United Nations is the International Court of Justice, Supreme Court of the Nations, it might be called. Think not, wait until I get into the Congressional Record. Interpretations of international law and the UN Charter. And it goes on and on and on. And remember, folks, I'm reading directly from a document prepared by the Department of State. I'm going to go fast, and I'm going to go through these documents, and I hope to get through them all by the end of the hour. This is a document called Our Foreign Policy. Now listen to me carefully. Our foreign policy. Not somebody else's foreign policy. Our foreign policy. Department of State Publication 3972, General Foreign Policy Series 26, released September 1950. New World Order wasn't invented by George Bush. Hitler talked about it. This was prepared by Harry S. Truman, ladies and gentlemen. And it starts out, Our Foreign Policy. There is no longer any real distinction between domestic and foreign affairs. Harry S. Truman was a 33rd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite. To that end, listen, quote, to that end, they began to plan and build an international community in which people could live in peace under the protection of law. The building of such a community is the most ambitious, the most difficult, the most hopeful, and most exciting enterprise on which the American people have ever embarked. It is big enough and hard enough to engage all our energies. If it were not for the threat of aggression, we could concentrate all our enemies' energies on that job. We could say that it was, in fact, the substance of our foreign policy. The enemy used to be the atomic bomb and the hydrogen bomb. They still wield it around when they need to, but watch out for the alien threat from outer space. That's right, folks. The biggest hoax in the history of the world being propagated to bring about world government. What does it mean to build an international community? It means first. Remember, this is Harry S. Truman in a State Department document that he ordered prepared. Quote, it means first organizing the members to deal collectively with their problems and to defend themselves collectively against anyone who may threaten the peace and tranquility of the community. So we took the lead in organizing the United Nations and its various specialized agencies. You just don't get it, do you, people? It was the United States of America and nobody else that created, organized, and built the United Nations. They then signed the United Nations Treaty. It was ratified by Congress. Then Harry S. Truman created the National Security Act and the Central Intelligence Agency to operate behind the veil of national security to bring about one world government. They talk about bringing the outlaws back into the community as decent working members. To this end, we have helped to write an international charter of fair trade practices and to create an international trade organization. Listen to this. You think GATT is new? You think NAFTA is new? They've been planning this for so many years and you've been so blind and stupid and apathetic, you never knew it. To this end, we have helped to write an international charter of fair trade practices and to create an international trade organization where the nations can settle their disputes across a conference table. Notice they're talking about trade organizations. And then they say where the nations can settle their disputes across a conference table. Through reciprocal trade and tariff agreements, we are gradually opening up the channels of world trade that have been clogged for a generation. All this is only the bare outline of an international community. Nobody can predict where the experiment will lead or how long it will take. It may, in time, lead to the international control of all armament, which is essential. It may lead eventually to a form of world government, which is a possibility that excites the imagination of some adventurous people. Which people? Not the American people. They never told us anything about it. Then he says, we find ourselves doing many things that contribute to the larger objective of building a community of nations. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I'm not against world government if it's done right. I'm not against world government if it respects the rights of individuals. I'm not against world government if it's organized and brought about truthfully without manipulation. They're not doing it that way. Because they know that they have to destroy the United States of America, they have to destroy individual liberty, they have to destroy the Constitution, they have to disarm the American people to bring it about, and they're bringing it about by lies, manipulation, deception, deceit, and killing people to scare them into accepting it. That's right. And I'm telling you right now, anything built upon a lie is nothing but an extension of the lie. And can never be any good. And that's why I oppose it. The hour of the time is about truth, always has been. That's why nobody likes the hour of the time. Nobody likes the truth. I've popped so many bubbles. I've brought the balloon down. And now you're all standing there with bubble gum all over your head. Lies. Socialism is always built upon lies. And then when they come to power, they maintain it by murder and labor camps and imprisonment and slavery. That's right, the enslavement of the population which it controls. Always. Now, this is a big, thick document. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm not even going to go through and read out any more segments because I've got too many documents to go through. You have to get it. I'm going to tell you how you can get it from us. If you don't want to get it from us, you can do what we did. You can take several years and dig it all out. Or you can buy it from us and get it all at once. In the Congressional Record Appendix, A63, and these are the remarks of Honorable John W. Bricker of Ohio in the Senate of the United States, Friday, January 9th, 1953. Our liberty must be guarded. To Americans, their freedom seems indestructible because they have not known a national life without it. They are prone to think their liberty cannot be taken away. It is in the proposed United Nations Covenant on Human Rights, which is favored by the State Department under the Truman administration, and which in its final form will come before the United States Senate for ratification as a treaty. The United Nations Charter, having been ratified by the Senate as a treaty, may be held to supersede the Constitution. And he outlines the Bricker Amendment, which, if adopted, would have prevented that. Now listen carefully what this says, folks. Listen carefully what it says. The Bill of Rights in our Constitution protects the people against any abridgment of freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. It guarantees them trial by jury, protects their property from seizure without due process of law, and shields them from cruel and inhuman punishments. And the United Nations Covenant on Human Rights, if it were to become our supreme law by treaty, freedom to manifest one's religion or beliefs shall be subject only to such limitations as are pursuant to law and are reasonable and necessary to protect public safety, order, morals, or the fundamental rights of others. Under such a broad clause, religion could be suppressed on the grounds that public safety was threatened, and thus a communist or fascist war on religion could be rationalized. And that's what's happening. But the UN Covenant reads, the right to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas carries with it special duties and responsibilities and may therefore be subject to certain penalties, liabilities, and restrictions, but these shall be such only as are provided by law and necessary for the protection of national security, public order, safety, health, or morals, or of the rights, freedoms, and reputation of others. Hitler would have loved that. He would have loved it, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wait till you hear all of this. You're just gonna... Yep. Tragov Ly in the Cause of Peace, 7 years with the United Nations, the Macmillan Company, New York, 1954. And he says, ladies and gentlemen, right here, Mr. Vyshinsky did not delay his approach. He was the first to inform me of an understanding which the Big Five had reached in London on the appointment of a Soviet national as Assistant Secretary General for Political and Security Council Affairs. Mr. Vyshinsky simply spoke of an agreement. He said nothing of its binding quality, of the right of the Big Five to arrive at it, or of the length of time it was meant to apply. Now, by the terms of the charter, the Secretary General has full authority in the disposition of the Assistant Secretary Generalships with respect both to their nationality and to their personality. That the Soviet Union wanted one of its nationals to fulfill the premier assistant secretaryship could be taken as another indication of serious Soviet interest in the United Nations, and that the United States was willing to agree to accord this key post to a national of the USSR was evidence of an American desire to encourage this interest for the sake of world peace. Folks, the United Nations Charter, if you lay it side by side with the Constitution of the old Soviet Union, is identical. Identical. Written and developed by Alger Hiss, a communist. This is a second annual report to Congress, January 1st, 1962, December 31st. But let me explain to you what I was just telling you, just in case you don't understand it. The secretariat that I was talking to you about is the person in the United Nations who is over all military forces and actions that come under the United Nations. And all military commanders operating on what were called throughout history United Nations peacekeeping actions had to report to that person. That's why we were always betrayed, ladies and gentlemen, because we were fighting communists, and the man we were reporting to was a Soviet general who turned right around and took the information from the war that we were fighting and gave it right to our communist enemies. You didn't know that, did you? Now, what I'm going to read to you is from the second annual report to Congress, January 1st, 1962, through December 31st, 1962, of the United States Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. Quote, the United States plan also provides for the reduction of forces of the United States and the Soviet Union to 2.1 million in Stage 1 and 1.05 million in Stage 2, with corresponding reductions by other nations. Union was a scam to help the American people accept it. He goes on to say the United States proposes completion of stages 1 and 2 in 3 years each and stage 3 as soon as possible. Provision is also made for appropriate inspection and verification at all stages. There are people from Russia in this country right now supervising the disarmament of the United States, and I can prove that. He says the United States has suggested a progressive zonal system. The United States plan further proposes the establishment of an international disarmament organization within the United Nations framework and the eventual establishment of an international peace force. Now, if there's not going to be a world government, how can there be an international police force? How can that happen? How can there be sovereign nation states when they're subject to the will of an international body? Don't you understand? They sold this country down the tubes to a socialist, communist world government. And that's why things are happening now that you don't understand. That's why patriots are being demonized now, because they have to destroy patriotism. They have to make the patriots the bad guys. They have to disarm the American people in order that we will be subject to an international peacekeeping force, a police force, if you will, under the real government, the United Nations, which is all outlined in all of these documents, thousands of documents we have here, all proof from the congressional record. Ladies and gentlemen, the Federal Register, treaties, the United States statutes, executive orders, books, newspaper articles, the documents of the United Nations. It is not secret. It is not a conspiracy. And it's all true. And the press laughs at it and poo-poos it and calls people like me a conspiracy nut, so that you will laugh at it and poo-poo it and call people like me a conspiracy nut, and then stand at home in your doorway and scratch your head and wonder, what's happening? Try pulling the wool off from over your eyes. try listening to me for a change, and you'll find out. And if you don't want to, then don't cry when you find yourself a slave in a socialist state with no protection of individual rights, no freedom of speech, no freedom to travel, where you work where they tell you to work, for how many hours a day they tell you to work at that place, where there is no ownership of private property. You don't think it's coming? Stick around, bozo. You're going to find out.
The Illuminati wants you to be a slave from birth to grave. The banksters own the Federal Reserve. It's private. They own it. It's neither federal nor a reserve. The cashists make that fiat funny money stuff you call dollars for 2 pennies.
The hour of the time is brought to you by Swiss America Trading. Now, if you listened last night, you know that you must have some real money. And the only place that I'm going to tell you that you can get it and get it from good people who have a guaranteed buyback plan, who will tell you the truth, who record everything so that their salespeople can't lie to you, and you can't lie to them either. It's all on tape. Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Remember, you learned last night that money under the law is gold and silver coin. There isn't any. You're dealing with paper instruments of debt called a dollar.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're no longer sponsored by Swiss America Trading. You can go give them a call if you are looking for gold or silver. We would also recommend that you give Dawn Marie Clark a call. Now, you can get in touch with her by checking on our website. That is hourofthetime.com. Once again, that's hourofthetime.com. Hoping to have a few programs over the next several weeks. We're going to be doing an episode on Edgar Allan Poe and the symbology in the cask of Amontillado, if you've ever read that particular Poe story. There is a Catholic versus Masonic theme going on in the background there that we're going to be discussing. Probably reading the story on the air as well, since it's a relatively short one of his works. Now, we also have Doyle doing the fairy tale series. I believe he's got the Cinderella one done already and a few other ones. That may run into 4 or 5 hours of fairy tales. The filming of the Symbology in Ottawa video production we're working on is, I would say, probably about half finished at this point. And we're hoping to have that out maybe by the end of April, something like that. Our series Hemp and the Artificial War on Drugs, probably going to be a 3 or 4 hour series, is virtually finished. It's basically, as a written now, we're just organizing what we want to put into each hour. And the Rosicrucian Position Manifesto analysis will eventually be aired. That one is actually pre-recorded, and I was going to do it today. I could not find it. We'll be doing some more episodes on Zango and natural health, and of course many more exciting episodes. Doyle's got many interviews lined up, so as soon as he's back in the studio and eager, we'll be running more of those. So let me see if Bill's done.
Now legislate as an uninhibited body.
And we're back to New World Order documented.
Under the Constitution, our entire system of a government of delegated powers of Congress has been changed to a system of undelegated powers without amendment by the people of the United States. Are you beginning to understand? Is it beginning to dawn on you? Listen to this. Quote, any judge deciding on the validity of legislation must have 2 books before him, one the Constitution of the United States and the other the Charter of the United Nations. If he does not find authority for the act in the Constitution, he will find it in the Charter. That is the exact situation in which Justice Holmes found himself and the other members of the Supreme Court when they decided the migratory bird case. The authority was not found in the Constitution. Indeed, under the Constitution, it could not be done. It was found in the treaty with Great Britain. The question to be answered is this: under which form of government do the people of the United States prefer to live? Manifestly, we cannot operate under both. Senators, the people of the United States have given up their sons. They have given up billions of their substance. They should not be the only nation in the world to give up their form of government, the wonder of the world, to discharge their obligations to the people of the world. What obligations to the people of the world? You see, folks, under the Executive Department interpretation of Article 6 of the Constitution, we have been a vassal state of the United Nations since Truman signed the United Nations Charter and the UN Participation Act, and the Senate ratified the treaty, and the House and Senate passed the UN Participation Act. If you don't believe it, look it up. We have all the documentation here. All of it. Every bit of it. Listen to this. Arms Control and Disarmament Act, Public Law 87-297. Purpose. An ultimate goal of the United States. They're not talking about the Soviet Union. They're not talking about the United Nations, which was created by the United States. They're talking about the United States. An ultimate goal of the United States is a world which is free from the scourge of war and the dangers and burdens of armaments, in which the use of force has been subordinated to the rule of law, and in which international adjustments to a changing world are achieved peacefully. It is the purpose of this act to provide impetus toward this goal by creating a new agency of peace to deal with the problem of reduction and control of armaments, looking toward ultimate world disarmament. And it goes on, and it talks about the ultimate agency of world disarmament under an eventual world government. The terms arms control and disarmament mean, listen carefully, this is why you are flooded with a sea of arms control legislation. They must do it because they are subordinate to the United Nations, and the United Nations has mandated it. The terms arms control and disarmament mean the identification, verification, inspection, limitation, control, reduction, or elimination of armed forces and armaments of all kinds under international agreement, including the necessary steps taken under such an agreement to establish an effective system of international control or to create and strengthen international organization for the maintenance of peace. Well, when the American people found out about this, they hit the roof. So they inserted a little clause in the law that said that the American people were not subject to disarmament. Later, they amended it again without telling the American people in a way that is very, very cunning. You see, they reverted the definition back to the first definition that I just read to you, doing away with the amendment that said the American people were not subject to the disarmament treaty. That's why. You're being disarmed, dummies. And you call me a conspiracy nut. And you tell me I'm some kind of a freako. Oh, I'm the bad guy now? No, I'm not the bad guy. I'm a loyal American citizen who cares about my country. Who cares about the people who live here? I care about my children. I care about liberty. I care about the Constitution, which is the only document that has ever existed in the history of the world that has given man true freedom, liberty, the ultimate achievement of all human striving throughout the history of the world. And now, by your stupidity, you want to take us back into slavery under socialism. Well, you just better be careful, folks, or you're going to get exactly what you want. And if you do, don't come crying to me, because I'll laugh at you. And then I'll sit down and cry. It's tragic, the stupidity that is occurring in this country today. Department of State publication 7277. Disarmament Series 5, released November 1961, Office of Public Services, Bureau of Public Affairs, Superintendent of Documents, United States Government Printing Office. It's entitled Freedom from War. Now listen to me. The United States program for general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world. It outlines the merger of the armed forces of the United States of America and the communist nations of what used to be known as the Soviet Union under the United Nations as the peacekeeping force of the world. Right now, we have many, not just a few, but many officers of all of our United States military forces in Russia. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is opening up an international academy for law enforcement in Budapest. In the United States, Soviet officers and troops are training here. And they're all learning how to work together under the United Nations. At the same time, we are being disarmed. Our weapons are being destroyed. Our military forces are being reduced according to this document. And it says, and I quote, "This new program provides for the progressive reduction of the war-making capabilities of nations and the simultaneous strengthening of international institutions to settle disputes and maintain the peace. A strenuous and uninterrupted effort must be made toward the goal of general and complete disarmament of all peoples and all nations, except for that limited amount of armament required to maintain internal order. This can only be achieved through the progressive strengthening of international institutions under the United Nations and by creating a United Nations peace force to enforce the peace as the disarmament process proceeds." Are you beginning to understand? And these people don't care what they have to do or who they have to destroy or how many people they have to kill to do it. They don't care. They are Marxists. They are socialists. They believe the end justifies the means. It is not going to be this utopian, peaceful world that they tell you about. It's going to be a world without freedom, where each individual will come under the control of the state for every single second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year of their life. Where the nuclear family will disappear, where children will be taken from their parents if you are allowed to have a child and will be trained and reared by the state. When are you going to catch on? Why do I have to go through this? You have the same brain I have, the same capabilities, the same libraries. What is wrong with you? Quote, "The disbanding of all national armed forces and the prohibition of their reestablishment in any form whatsoever other than those required to preserve internal order and for contributions to a United Nations peace force." All armaments. Yours too. And don't be fooled by this duck hunting liar that's in the White House. And I'll bet you a dollar he didn't shoot any duck. And they wouldn't be able to do this without the complete knowledge, cooperation, and complicity of the senior officer corps of all of the military services of the United States of America. The officers who are sworn to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, are traitors. That's right, they're traitors. Now listen to this and see how much of it has come true. This is from the Congressional Record Appendix. January the 10th, 1963. Current communist goals. Listen carefully. 1. U.S. acceptance of coexistence as the only alternative to atomic war. Now remember, there was no threat of atomic war. This whole thing about the Cold War was cooked up between Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt to bring about
world government. 2, U.S. willingness to capitulate in preference to engaging in atomic war. Now listen, it doesn't say the USSR's willingness to capitulate. It says the United States' willingness to capitulate. And if you read Mikhail Gorbachev's Perestroika, you'll see who's really capitulating. And it wasn't the Soviet Union. If it was, what's Chechnya all about? 3, develop the illusion that total disarmament by the United States would be a demonstration of moral strength. 4, permit free trade between all nations, regardless of communist affiliation and regardless of whether or not the items could be used for war. 5, extension of long-term loans to Russian and Soviet satellites. 6, provide American aid to all nations regardless of communist domination. 7, grant recognition of Red China, admission of Red China to the United Nations. 8, set up East and West Germany as separate states in spite of Khrushchev's promise in 1955 to settle the German question by free elections under supervision of the UN. 9, prolong the conference to ban atomic tests because the United States has agreed to suspend tests as long as negotiations are in progress. 10, allow all Soviet satellite individual representation in the United Nations. 11, promote the United Nations as the only hope for mankind. If its charter is rewritten, demand that it be set up as a one-world government with its own independent armed forces. Some communist leaders believe the world can be taken over as easily by the United Nations as by Moscow. Sometimes these two centers compete with each other, as they are now doing in the Congo. 12, resist any attempt to outlaw the Communist Party. 13, do away with all loyalty oaths. They did all of this, folks. 14, continue giving Russia access to the United States Patent Office. 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. They did. The Democratic Party is in the hands of Marxist, socialist, communists. Right now, they're in the White House. They occupy the leadership positions in all agencies of the United States government. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions by claiming their activities violate civil rights. 17, get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. They have done that. Soften the curriculum. Get control of teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. They have done all of it. 18, gain control of all student newspapers. 19, use student riots to foment public protest against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. 20, infiltrate the press. They control the press. As you can see now, they're destroying. The last defenders of liberty in this country are under full-blown attack. By who? By the press. Get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, policy-making positions. 21, gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures. They have done that, and now they're trying to destroy those of us who speak out for liberty in places like shortwave. 22, continue discrediting American culture by degrading all forms of artistic expression. An American communist cell was told to eliminate all good sculpture from parks and buildings, substitute shapeless, awkward, and meaningless forms. 23, control art critics and directors of art museums. Our plan to promote ugliness, repulsive, meaningless art. 24, eliminate all laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship and a violation of free speech and free press. 25, break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity in books, magazines, motion pictures, radio, and TV. They have done all of this. 26, present homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, and healthy. They have done it all. 27, infiltrate the churches and replace revealed religion with social religion. Discredit the Bible and emphasize the need for intellectual maturity, which does not need a religious crutch. 28, eliminate prayer or any phase of religious expression in the schools on the ground that it violates the principle of separation of church and state, which does not appear in our Constitution, but appears in those exact words in the Constitution of the Soviet Union. 29, discredit the American Constitution by calling it adequate, old-fashioned, out of step with modern needs, a hindrance to cooperation between nations on a worldwide basis. The exact words of Ross Perot. 30, discredit the American founding fathers. Present them as selfish aristocrats who had no concern for the common man. They have done it. 31, belittle all forms of American culture and discourage the teaching of American history on the ground that it was only a minor part of the big picture. Give more emphasis to Russian history since the communists took over. They have done it. 32, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of the culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, mental health clinics, etc. 33, eliminate all laws or procedures which interfere with the operation of the communist apparatus. They did it. 34, eliminate the House Committee on Un-American Activities. They did it. 35, discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. They discredited the FBI when they branded Hoover a homosexual. Have you ever read all the documentation and proof that Hoover was a homosexual? There isn't any. There is none whatsoever. It's a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, 100% total lie. 36, infiltrate and gain control of more unions. 37, infiltrate and gain control of big business. 38, transfer some of the powers of arrest from the police to social agencies. They have done it. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric disorders, which no one but psychiatrists can understand or treat. They have done it. Dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who oppose communist goals. They have done it. 40, discredit the family as an institution. Encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. 41, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents, attribute prejudices, mental blocks, and retarding of children to suppressive influence of parents. They have done it, and they created inflation to put both parents to work so that the children could be reared in government-controlled daycare centers and schools. Create the impression that violence and insurrection are legitimate aspects of the American tradition, that students and special interest groups should rise up and use united force to solve economic, political, or social problems. They did it all through the 60s and 70s. Overthrow all colonial governments before native populations are ready for self-government. Internationalize the Panama Canal. Repeal the Connolly Reservation so the United States cannot prevent the World Court from seizing jurisdiction over nations and individual states. They have done it all. Wake up. I'll continue this where I left off on Monday night. Don't miss it. I've got tons of documents I can go through. Good night, and God bless you all.
All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, there's a loud knock on your door. Hey, honey. Something's not right.
Throw out your arms. Let me stand back.